Well, today's going to be part two of the series, Breaking Every Addiction. And for those of you watching, last Sunday was, or for those of you listening, last Sunday was part one. So it's only been a week in between part one and today part two. The problem is, during this week, we have had two services per day in a prayer and power conference with Pastor Dave Roberson and Gary Carpenter. I don't really remember too much about part one. I know we started this series, but what's it about? We're going to review just a little bit. And I actually wrote down the verses so I wouldn't forget them. We took a look how in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, God created everything, including humanity, starting with Adam. And when he looked at his creation, he realized and made this declaration that it was very good, meaning that it met his standards, meaning that everything about it reflected who God was and who he is. Well, it doesn't take, you know, too much thinking to figure out that there's no way God can be addicted to anything. No way. So when he created man, there were no such things as addictions. I mean, it just wasn't there. Genesis 1 and 2. Well, in Genesis 3, Adam sinned, and God had warned him about it. He said, now listen, the moment that you do this, if you choose to eat from this tree that I told you not to eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. Well, Adam died, and he ate, and then he died spiritually, and it took over 900 years for that spiritual death to corrupt his physical body so much that he died. Well, in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it talks about how that through one man, speaking of Adam, that sin entered the world, and that death through sin. So Adam's transgression led, it became the door, if you will, for sin to enter into the world, and that word world literally means the sum total of creation. So it's not just humanity, it's this world that we have, the universe, I mean, everything that God created. And that sin became the door through which death entered. And so death, corruption, all of that has now become a part of our existence. These bodies are corrupted and they're decaying and all of this. And well, it goes on to say how that in Scripture, since this wasn't God's plan for us to be in this corrupted state and have that spiritual death, he devised a plan, and the plan was devised before the foundation of the world. You know, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ slain before the foundation of the world. So God came up with this plan, how that I'm going to send my son into the earth, and because of what he's going to do there on earth, he will be able to make it possible for humanity to be restored back to me according to my original plan in Genesis 1 and 2. So then we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that God not only causes us to be born again, but that born again process causes us to be translated out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, all forms of addiction are, how can I say this, relevant to the power of darkness. Freedom from addictions exists in the kingdom of God's dear Son. So the moment that we are born again and we have God's life on the inside of us, translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, at that moment, from God's perspective, we have been delivered from every form of addiction. Now, it doesn't matter what it is. Well, all of those things being true, it brings up, you know, an interesting question. Then why is it that you have so many Christians who are addicted to things? And, you know, you have Christians who are addicted to alcohol. And, you know, I talked a little bit about that, how that there are a lot of Christians who, you know, every night before they go to bed, they'll have their glass of wine, and they say, well, that helps them to relax. Well, you may not be clinically diagnosed or fall into the definition of an alcoholic, but you're addicted to that wine. Because if that's the way you've lived for the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever, you know, have your glass of wine so you can relax before you go to bed, you've got a problem. Because if you say that I have to have a chemical substance of any kind to help me experience enough peace so that I can go to sleep, You're missing something with God. And see, I know that this stomps on a lot of toes. The problem is, according to the Word of God, what I'm saying is right. But you've got Christians who flat out don't want to accept this. Well, the challenge then, go 3 months and don't have that glass of wine one time. Just do it. Just do it. Well, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. No, I'm not. If you believe, if you feel as though you cannot have enough comfort and peace to sleep at night without introducing a chemical substance into your body, you have an addiction. Please let that sink in. Go ahead and turn me off. You know, if you're mad, you know, honked off. But do this. You dig into the Word of God and you send me a boatload of scriptures to prove that I'm wrong. Now, I'm not trying to be mean to people. What I'm trying to do is to get... See, listen. If man had to have a chemical substance to rest, God would have said, now, Adam, go over here and stomp these grapes and let them ferment for a while, because you're going to need this if you hope to get any sleep. Or go over here and yank the... You see these mushrooms over here, Adam? I want you to chew on this one and smoke that one. And Adam says, well, there's a problem here, God. I understand the chewing part, but what do you mean by smoke? I mean, where's the fire to light it? You know what fire is? Fire is the destruction of that which exists. Well, yes, but we need fire. Adam didn't need fire. Everything was perfect. What would he have done with fire? Cooked his meals. Cooked what meals? They ate the plants. Folks, you need to study the Word a little bit more. Let these things sink in. So, you have all different kinds of addictions. You have Christians. Now, this is focusing on believers. Okay, this whole series is focusing on those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have Christians who are addicted to pornography. You know, they've got, you know, the computer stuff is one thing. But you have Christian couples who have gotten to the place in their relationship to where they believe. I'm talking husbands and wives, because if you're not married, you're not supposed to be doing this stuff anyway. Okay? Husbands and wives, Christians, born again, Spirit-filled, who believe that they have to have pornography in order for them to have, how can I say this, fulfilled marital relations. You have Christian singles. Well, even Marys, but Christian singles who continually pursue intimate relationships with people. Now, these things are addictions. You have Christians who believe that, you have Christians who are addicted to television. Television is their chemical substance. You know, I have to watch it. It helps me to relax. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives. He says, look, I have a peace that supersedes anything that the world can produce. There is no chemical substance, no visual sedation through television, nothing that compares to what the peace of God can give you. Nothing. You do not need anything other than God to help you relax at night. And I don't know why he keeps coming back with this. There must be some folks more problems here with this than what I realize. You have Christians who have all different forms of addiction. I mean, you talk about, you know, tobacco, whether you smoke it, chew it, shove it between your cheek and gum. What do you do? They're just all forms of addictions. And while I was meditating on this, you know, I believe God gave me, you know, a really good definition of an addiction. And some people would say, well, yeah, but, you know, it's not really an addiction. It's just a habit. Say that again. Brother Martin, it's not really an addiction. It's just a habit. Okay? Well, what's the difference? Well, an addiction, that's like when you have to have heroin or crack or something like that. Okay? So then what you're saying is an addiction is something that has altered your body's reaction to the presence or absence of a chemical substance. Is that what you're... Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Well, what's the other? Well, you know, the other stuff, you know, like the pornography, that's just a habit, you know. Okay? What an addiction and a habit, they're the same thing, guys. The same thing. Now, let me give you the definition. What is an addiction or a habit? Any action or behavior that contradicts the nature and character of God in a believer and is performed with consistency. That's the definition. I'm going to read it again. Any action or behavior that contradicts the nature and character of God in a believer and is performed with consistency. Once a day, once a week, once a month. I mean, we're talking about things that you do that contradict the nature and character of God. Trust me, when we get to heaven, God is not going to have, you know, this big bowl full of, you know, marijuana joints for us to smoke. A lot of people, well, you know, I smoke it, but I'm not addicted to it. All right, then stop. But I like the way it makes me feel. Aha! And trust me, there's not going to be an open bar with Chablis up in heaven. And an angel making the pronouncement, belly up. It's not going to be there. You're not going to have a giant computer where you can log on and watch some kind of porno stuff. See, on and on we could go with this. It's not going to be there. There are no cigarette machines in heaven. And so we talk about all of these things that happen in the body of Christ. Even the whole thing of anger can be an addiction. It can be a habit. But no matter what it is, there's a tendency to justify it in our own minds, and we keep doing it. And there are a lot of Christians, just like, you know, a few minutes ago I'm talking about the wine thing, and in the spirit I felt some resistance to that. Look, man, get over it, you know? I mean, how can I be wrong when I can't find anything in the Word of God that tells me, you know, you need this to survive or to get through? Well, I don't need it to survive. Okay, then go without it. Whatever it is, just stop. Just stop. And the Lord was showing me how that, you know, this thing with addictions, the biggest problem in the body of Christ when it comes to addictions of behavior is not the fact that they exist. It is the reaction of the individual toward the addiction, toward that habit. In other words, it's what we deal with on the inside. It's how we approach it on the inside. It's how we look at it on the inside. And I've spoken with Christians before, and I'm telling you, it's almost like they will fight to the death to defend what they say they can't stop. I want you to look over in Colossians chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Now remember, the definition of an addiction or a habit. And I'm not talking of... Well, you know, well, I have the habit of holding the toothbrush in my right hand when I... That is not what I'm talking about, guys. You know that. An addiction or a habit is any action or behavior that contradicts the nature and character of God in a believer and is performed with consistency. Now, with that definition in mind, listen to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion. So, habits and behaviors... addictions, habits and addictions that are contrary to the nature and character of God in us, those things cannot, it is absolutely impossible for those things to arbitrarily grab a hold of our lives and force us into submission. It can't happen. And the Lord was sharing with me how that, and I think I brought this up last time, part one, how that nobody is addicted to anything that they do not first entertain. Nobody is addicted to anything. Nobody is habitual at anything that they do not first entertain. So, these things that are contrary to the nature and character of God in us, the only way that we become addicted to them is if we entertain them in our lives. I can remember one time, I was with a friend, and you know, and he lit up a cigarette, and I thought, yeah, I wonder what that's like. Now, this was not last week, okay? This is years ago, back in the, you know, boozing, drugging days, okay? And so, you know, he let me, I mean, we were both kind of drunk at the time, but he let me have, you know, a puff on his cigarette. Well, I didn't know what it would be like. So, you know, I just imitated what I had seen. Just puff, and I felt like I was sucking fire down my lungs. And I'm trying not to, you know, be uncool about it. So, yeah. And in my mind, I'm thinking, God have mercy, you got to be dumber than a... You know, box of rocks. Well, even you got to be really stupid to do this until you can't do it anymore. I mean, you actually have to force yourself to go through excessive amounts of pain and discomfort and force your body into the place that it wants this stuff. And I can remember thinking, this is really dumb. Now, if you smoke, come on, cut me some slack here, all right? Because if you smoke, you know what I'm saying is true. You had to force it down. You know, like mom gives you the medicine, here, take this. Don't you want to take it? It'll make you feel better. How can anything that makes me puke make me feel better? But you had to, you know, force it down. Eat your vegetables. Got to force them down. Well, you had to force this stuff down. And other things as well. Listen, if you're a believer and the first time that you look at that pornography, you know it's wrong because that spirit on the inside is saying, good Lord in heaven, what are you doing? You know, it's like the Lord gave me like a vision one time that when a believer looks at pornography, like, you know, logs on to it or, you know, the magazines or whatever, it was like, here's Jesus, and he's with us. And the moment that those images come up, it was, he went like this. He went, ah. And he just turned away. And he couldn't stand to look at it. And yet there we are, you know, feeding that stuff into our spirits. And you need to understand, and later on I'm going to be talking about this whole thing of why do Christians get involved with certain types of sexual behavior that God calls an abomination. Why does this happen? Well, there's a reason for it. I'm going to touch on this. And so, we have these addictions, but the reason we have them is because we entertained those things in some way, shape, or form. Until we got to the place to where it became an expectation in our lives. Whatever that means. Whether it was a drug that our bodies got to the point to where the body has been trained to function on that drug. And so now, you know, gotta have it and all this other. But listen, even if it's a physical addiction to, you know, some kind of chemical substance, the bottom line is this. The power of God's life on the inside of you is greater than the power of that chemical substance that seems to be controlling your body. Now, there are too many people who accepted Jesus and instantly were delivered from some kind of an addiction, some kind of a drug or chemicals, when, you know, alcohol, whatever it is. You know, it's happened too many times. Too many times. And the thing is, there's no way that you cannot say that the power of God that can open eyes that have been blind since birth and legs that have been lame since birth and cause them to walk and so forth. You're telling me that that kind of power cannot cause a person to be delivered from these addictions and habits? Man, that's crazy. The same power that caused you to pass from spiritual death to spiritual life that it, and it's that power of that life is in you. That power is the power of freedom. Now it's there. And God was saying, he was saying, you know, I can only help people to the extent that they want help. And as long as you don't want help, you know, you're going to stay like you are. And I'm talking about Christians. It's not going to change. I want to read a couple of passages to you. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Because I'm going to show you both an Old and a New Testament parallel here. In Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now this is very prophetic, more so than what most people realize. And I don't have time to go into everything that's being covered here. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, look in verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So God is saying, look, you have a choice. Choose life. What life? Well, for us, it's the life of God on the inside of us. Choose life. Choose it. Do you see this? Choose it. Why choose it? Because it's not going to be forced on you. Choose it. Now, let me show you the New Testament parallel to this. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. And this is, the words aren't the same, but they're almost identical. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I mean, that is the shortened version of what he just prophesied back there in Deuteronomy. And it says right here, look, if you make a decision to live according to those things which are contrary to the nature and behavior of God on the inside of you, then you know what? You're going to experience death in your life. Listen, if it's not something that's related to the character and nature of God on the inside of you, then it is something that is related to death. Please understand this. Any form of addiction or habitual behavior that is not connected to the nature and character of God on the inside of you, it is connected to death. Because anything outside of God is life. Anything outside of God is death. Well, he says right here, look, if you make the wrong decisions, you're going to be introducing forms of death into your life. And I know I'm paraphrasing, but he says, but listen, if you take this further and through the power of God's life on the inside of you as a believer, if you mortify or put to death or enforce the position of death, you know, these deeds of the body, you shall experience life and life more abundantly. Because Jesus said, I've come, you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, having it means born again. But more abundantly means living every day according to the fullness of that life and my inheritance in Christ. Now, you can't do that when you're struggling with addictions and habits of any kind contrary to the nature and character of God. You're not going to have this. Does this mean that God doesn't love you? No, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So He still loves you. Listen, He's going to love you no matter what you do. But a lot of what you do can mess up your life for eternity. But He still loves you. So, here He says, look, you're born again. Now, through the power of that life on the inside of you, put to death every addiction and habit that is contrary to my nature and character. And experience the fullness of my life in your life. So we have the Old Testament prophecy, and we also have then the New Testament confirmation or fulfillment of that prophecy. Now look in Galatians chapter 5. See what this comes down to here? I mean, he says, if you, through the Spirit, the power of that life of God on the inside of you, mortify the deeds of the flesh. In other words, choose ye this day to mortify the deeds of the flesh. It comes back to choice. Now in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is a variation on the theme of Romans 8:13. This I say then, live according to who you've become in Christ, and you will not fulfill those desires, those addictions, those habits associated with the things of the flesh and death. Live according to who you've become in Christ, and you won't do that. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. In other words, what he's saying is those things associated with the flesh and death, those habits and behaviors, think about it. Anybody that's ever struggled with anything as a Christian, you know good and well, it's like that feeling, which is what it is, wants to dominate everything about who you are in Christ. And your spirit on the inside, your born-again spirit, is saying, hey, listen, turn me loose against this, man. Don't bottle me up. Don't hold me back. Turn me loose. Well, but I got to wait for the Holy Ghost to release an anointing, and I got your born again spirit is saying, now wait a second. I understand what you're saying, but I am the life of God in you. I am capable of overpowering this because that stuff is not more powerful than I am. Because remember, I am God's life in you, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, not associated with God. And so he says, now if you be led of the Spirit, or if you're born again, he goes, look, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And so, it's like, and such like, you know, it's like he says, look, I'm running out of things. I mean, I'm not going to take up the rest of this letter to the Galatians and list everything that there is. But you'll notice in verse 20, this word witchcraft, that word witchcraft comes from a Greek word that not simply means, you know, boogie woogie, I cast a spell on you, witchcraft, but it also specifically means forms of drug addiction, or the use of drugs in any way to sedate the senses. That's part of what this word means. And he goes on and he says, look, all of these things of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do, that phrase which do means those which do these things in some form of continual pattern. Some ongoing behavior, however it means to each addiction. He says, they that do these things or live this way shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is strong language. Very strong. And he goes on and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. In other words, what he's saying is, you've been delivered out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and these things of the flesh, compared to the life of God in you, they're dead. They're just as good as dead. And then he says, if we live in the Spirit, or if we're born again, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, again, here's a choice. Let us make this decision to live this way. So God is saying, look, the moment you're born again, you don't have to give in. You don't have to do these things. Now, let me throw out this disclaimer again. I do understand that some people, some Christians, may have such a chemical addiction. Just, you know, I'll say heroin as an identifier. But it can not just be heroin. It can be a lot of different things. To where you may need to go to a clinic and have some help with the chemical aspect of it. But I also know this. The power of God can break a heroin addiction just like that. Now, I know it can happen. You know, you can't come and tell me it can't happen. I know it can happen. But if it's needful for a person to have a clinic where they, you know, wean you off of that, then okay, all right? We're not saying that everybody has to go cold turkey, but I know the power of God can help a person go cold turkey without all those negative effects that come with it. And there are a lot of people out there who say, well, that's just crazy. I mean, how can you say such a thing? Why? You can't do that. But again, what you're saying is that God can't. When you're telling me that the God who created an entire universe cannot by that power instantly deliver somebody from some kind of horrible physical addiction? You saying he can't do that? Then as a Christian, what is your perception of God in the first place? With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So I can. Well, look over in Ephesians chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So what we're seeing continually in this is the whole aspect of choice. Not whether or not God wants to. From God's perspective, it's a done deal. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So God says, hey, my Son sets you free. Well, to look here in Ephesians chapter 4. And this will help you understand a little bit more about what's going on in this whole thing of addictions. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, now he's speaking to believers, Christians, that you henceforth, or from this time forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk, now look here, in the vanity of their mind. See this? There's a reason that they call some of these things mind-altering drugs. And it says, don't be like these lost people, living in the vanity of your mind. What's the vanity of the mind? Thoughts and thinking and patterns of thinking that do not line up with who you've become in Christ. And he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, let's just say forms of addiction and habits, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Or in other words, this is not something that's come out of the nature of Christ in you. You did not come to this mindset and these conclusions from anything that Christ has done for you. You haven't learned this relative to your life in Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, or that you live according to the new man, which after God, or which according to the image of God, like the image of God, as a reflection of God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. And he's saying, look, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God took His own righteousness and true holiness and formed you out of it. So now your born-again spirit is righteousness and true holiness. That's who you are. And he says, look, don't be like the world. Don't keep living this way in the vanity of your mind. And God said, this is really what it's all about. You have Christians, some of whom have various types of addictions and behavior. It can be alcohol, it can be television, it can be, you know, pornography and, you know, perverse behaviors and so on and so forth. And he says, many of them in their minds do not think they can stop. They do not believe they can stop because the effect, now listen to this, the effect of the behavior, whatever it is, the porno, the chemicals, whatever kind of chemicals, on and on, the effect that those things have on the mind / emotions leads them to the place of thinking they can't stop. And God is saying that's vanity of mind. Because that is something that does not come forth from the mind of Christ. And he talks about this in another place in Scripture about how that we have the mind of Christ over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So he's saying, look, you know, as my children, you have two ways of thinking. You can think with the vanity of the mind, or you can think according to the mind of Christ. And when you're thinking according to the mind of Christ, you will not think. You can't stop. What you will know is that I can stop. And now it's a matter of me living according to who I become in Christ, my born-again spirit, and the power of God's life in me, and overpowering that thing which is trying to tell me, you can't stop doing me. You can't stop this. He says, no. You need to put on the new man. Live according to the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off. Look, in verse 22, you don't tell somebody to put off something that they don't have on. You know, kids come into the house and their shoes are covered with, you know, mud and slop and all this. And you look at the kids and you say, you know, you take those shoes off before you come in this house. Put them off. I don't want that filthiness in here. Well, likewise, he says, put off these things related to the old way. Because these things are corrupt. So here we are as believers, and God is saying, look, you're going to have a hard time getting away from what I've said in my word concerning these things. But here's the bigger problem. It's the Christians who don't want to. Now listen. This is really what it comes down to. They don't really want to, because they do like how they feel with this habit. There's something about it that impacts them in a way that it has a type of positive response. I mean, you know, you can take, let's just use smoking for example. You can take Christians and show them the movie, show them a film of a person having lung cancer, some kind of surgery. You can show them all the grossness. You can show them the extent of the surgeries and the sickness and the disease and everything to the point to where they start gagging. You know what? A bunch of them are going to go out and light up. You know, I've seen an autopsy. I've seen what black lungs look like. And you've got Christians, it doesn't matter what you say or what you show them in Scripture. They are going to defend their addictions and their habits, those things that are contrary to the nature and character of God on the inside. They're just going to defend them no matter what. It's because, now this is going to sound, it's because they enjoy the way those things make them feel more than they enjoy the presence of God. Now, some people would say, that isn't me. You don't know how hard I'm trying. I really want to be free. I really want to be free. I believe you. You think you believe you. But how hard are you trying with the power of God's life to be free? Because that's the key. The clinics can help, and the patches can help, and the groups can help, and the medical therapy. I mean, you know, whatever it is, okay? Those things can have a purpose to a certain point. But the bottom line is, nothing is more effective than the power of God's life in us. Nothing. And you've got Christians that they will just continue to defend it. Well, you know, when God wants me free, I'll be free. Wait a minute. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now listen to me. Your new creature is not addicted to anything. What you're doing is allowing your flesh to dominate your life, whether it's the porno, the perversions, the this, the that, the other. I mean, you're defending your habitual demonstrations of anger toward people. All, on and on it goes. Well, yes, but, you know, you got to depend on God's grace. Yes, that's right.
Well, God's grace is what I need to be set free. You're not going to get an argument out of me on that one. Well, I'm just waiting on the grace of God to move in my life and then I'll be free. Oh, man, you don't get it. Listen to me. Listen. What you just said is never going to happen. How dare you say the grace of God can't sit? No, I didn't say the grace of God can't. What I said was what you just said is never going to happen. You said, I'm waiting on the grace of God to set me free. And then when the grace of God moves, I will be set free. That's never going to happen. You're going to stay with that addiction from now till the time the trumpet sounds.
Well, can you prove that?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Look in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And see, that kind of answer right there, you know, I mean, bless their hearts, the folks that say that, they may not realize it, but that's a cop-out answer. In Romans chapter 4, look here. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now look here. He's telling you that grace is that which, how can I say it, produces the manifestation of the promise. Now, I know he's talking here primarily about salvation, but we have a better covenant associated with better plural promises. Now, one of those promises, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. One of those promises is, I'm set free from anything. Doesn't matter what it is. So here he says, look, grace is that which brings to pass the promises of God in your life. However, it is of faith that it might be by grace. In other words, the grace is there, and it's waiting for you to access it by faith. Now, let me show you another place that says almost the same thing in chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So here's what's interesting. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and so praise God, there I am. I'm standing in this grace. But my other foot is still out there in the addiction. Now, I'm born again, but I'm addicted. You understand what I'm saying? Now, from God's perspective, you're free. But for this teaching, I'm born again, but I'm addicted. My legs can't go out any further than not as young as I used to be. But the grace is still there to get this other foot over here in my freedom. See this? But until I use my faith to tap into the grace to get out of the addiction, I'll still stand in there. But the grace is there the whole time. The grace has never been held back. It's still there. So I can, you know, say, well, I'm just waiting for the grace. And God is saying, wait a minute. All grace has been released unto you. You use your faith to get born again, but you're not using your faith to stop, you know, this thing, that thing, and this other. You are justifying it by talking about how you can't. And God is saying, look, you need to realize you might be able to buffalo a bunch of believers out there who don't understand their position in Christ and get them to agree with you. But I am God Almighty. I've given you my word, and I'm looking on the inside of you, and you're justifying this because there's something about it that makes you feel good. Look over in Ephesians.
You say, well, can you go to heaven with addictions?
Well, it kind of depends on what some of them are. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto addictive behaviors. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Or in other words, God has already set forth that we have the potential and capacity to live this way. So here we see it again. For by grace are you saved, delivered, set free, redeemed. From what? Everything associated with that which is contrary to the character and nature of God on the inside of you. By grace through faith. A lot of Christians simply don't want to believe for freedom because they don't really want to be free. And in their minds, over time, they develop this idea, it's not that bad. And they begin to sear their conscience. It's not that bad. According to what? Because when you see the standard of Christian living described by God in Scripture, it is that bad. Let me just read it again. Habits, addictions. Any action or behavior that contradicts the nature and character of God in a believer and is performed with consistency. I just can't help myself. Are you born again? Yeah, well then you can. I just wish God would stop this. I just wish... Well, you can. Now, there are some believers out there, this is real for them. I want God to stop it. I want God to redeem me, get me free from this. I don't like being this way, but it's like I can't stop it. It's like I can't help it. It's like and for some of them, that is true. And you know why? It's because they don't understand about the deliverance they have. They don't understand what born again. They don't understand that they have God's life on the inside of them. And one of the reasons they don't is because they've never been taught this. They've never heard in their churches that, look, when you're born again, that's God's life in you. Not to some old dirty sin-natured spirit that's been washed up in some blood and shoved back on the inside of again. That's God's life on the inside of you. You'll never be deity, so don't hope for it, but you have His life. And the power of that life, that is freedom power. That's addiction-breaking power. And so what you have to do is you have to, you know, get it across to people. Do your best to present to them from God's Word what God has said about who we've become in Jesus Christ. And those who really want it, now listen, the ones who really want this, if you get it across to them, the fullness of this freedom that we have in Christ, and they've never known this before, I'll guarantee you they're going to break those addictions like that. You mean I've been free this whole time? Yeah. Why didn't the preachers tell me? Don't get me started on that. But you're here now. Now take this and apply it. What it comes down to as a believer, you have to want it. Don't play word games with me. Don't come and tell me how you can't. Especially after you hear the teaching about it. Don't come and tell me that you can't. Don't come and tell me that you really want to and you just wish you could. Don't come and do that with me. Because I'm just going to point you right back to who you've become in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care what it is. Any kind of addiction, habit, whatever, any of those things, whatever you want to label it, you can stop. But it starts with wanting to. And if you don't want to, well, praise God. Jesus will love you. And I'll still love you. You know, but you're walking beneath the fullness of who you are in Christ. Besides that, there's a lot of Christians, and this is really maybe the worst part about it. There are so many Christians who are involved in some kind of addiction or habit, you know, whatever it is. And they have convinced themselves that it's not that bad to the point to where they're no longer concerned about their testimony for Jesus. And even if lost people confront them over it, they will somehow defend it. How in the world can you look at a lost person and tell them they need Jesus Christ when they see behavior in your life that contradicts what you're telling them Jesus will do? How can you truly... See, this is one of the reasons why, years ago, you know, I'm in a bar and I'm half drunk and working on the other half. And I'm standing, you know, playing pinball. And there's a gal next to me, and she's playing pinball. And I looked over, and I'm thinking, yeah. This is before I met Kathy. She's cute. And I have no idea how we ended up on this conversation, but, you know, God came up in the conversation. And she's saying some really whacked out things. Well, see, now I was raised in church. And even though I didn't understand about being filled with the Holy Ghost or any of that kind of stuff, I knew enough about God, and I knew enough about God's Word to where I knew what she was saying was whacked out. And on the inside, what little I did know, I could have, you know, spoken to her to correct this. But how could I do that? I mean, I don't remember if I'd smoked dope before I'd gone in or not, but I'm drinking and all this other, and I mean, I'm in this place, and how in the world can I possibly start talking to her about Jesus? How? How? And then like with Kathy. You know, when we met in a bar, and I was passing out tracts. Now I was in there drinking. And once again, I was half drunk. She's three quarters drunk. I'm working on the other half. She's working on the other quarter. And we met, and I can't really say it was love at first sight. You know, when you're drunk, it's really more lust at first sight than anything else. You got to wait till you sober up to figure out, you know, is this thing real? It turned out it was real. You know. Anyway. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell them everything, okay? But, you know, we met on July 3rd, 1981, in a bar. And, you know, time's going on, and, man, I'm telling you, we're falling in love. And, I mean, it's a dead drop fall. You know what I'm talking? This is happening fast. And I knew that what I was doing was wrong. You know, the drugs and all this kind of stuff. I knew that what she was doing was wrong. And there was still enough consciousness of Christ on the inside of me to where I knew, you know, this is not right. But yet, I enjoyed the feelings of all that stuff more than truly making a decision to live for Jesus. And she didn't even have a background in church. And I'm concerned for her. But you know, how can I witness to her when I'm, you know, we're, you know, drinking and, you know, toking and how, what am I going to do? Jesus, Kathy, come on. He'll save you, dude. How can I do that? How? Well, you know, my mom and dad, they love the Lord. And, you know, she's over at the house. And she had a real experience with God one day. This was in December of 81. And she's driving to work. God, this can't be it. You know, things got to change. And Jesus, I want you in my life. You know, I mean, she's just driving down the road on the way to work. And Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you. Well, you know, that's not the way that we Baptists wrote out the sinner's prayer. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you come into my heart.
But that moment, she was born again. Amen. Well, then she's talking to my mom at like a day or two later, and mom just looked at her and she said, "Kathy, have you ever been born again?" And Kathy said, "Well, you know, I'm not really sure what that means, but let me tell you what happened." And she told mom what happened in the car. Mom said, "You know, I really believe that you are born again." She said, "But let's just pray again and let's just be sure." Because mom explained to her what born again was all about. And so Kathy said, "Okay, yeah, because I want to be sure." So she prayed. And, you know, we went home that night because, you know, we were living in sin, okay? And she tells me what happened. And I'm saying, you know, I'm glad. You know, I wanted this for you. But there was no way that I could say anything to you because what value would my words have? You know what I'm saying? And I realized, you know, I got to get my life. Well, I rededicated my life or came back to the Lord, whatever you want to call it. I did it at that time. And the point I'm making is this. You know, we've all made mistakes over the years, okay? We have. You know, maybe an emotional outburst, you know, here and there. I mean, just different things. I'm not talking about all of that. This series is focusing on continually choosing. Even if your body is screaming out, you better put that needle in my arm one more time, or you better light that thing up one more time, that pipe or that. I mean, whatever it is, whatever it is. If your body and your emotions are still screaming out, and just that definition of habits and behaviors, you know, if that's going on in your life, at least think of what you're doing to your testimony for Jesus. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. And I'm telling you right now, whatever the habits and behaviors that, I'm not saying that everybody here has them, okay? But if you do, guys, you've got to know that sooner or later, Christians are going to know what you're doing. Now, what's happening in part in this series, God is giving people, believers now, an opportunity to deal with this. Now, in this series, those who listen to it, if you have addictions and behavior and habits and all, I mean, listen, this series is bringing you to the place of being face to face with these things. This series is a series of accountability. Now, if you choose not to enforce the life of God and you choose to continue on in these patterns of behavior, I'm telling you, it's not going to go well for you. I don't know for sure what that means. But once you've come to the place of understanding and you reject it and sear your conscience against what God wants to do, the accountability level shoots through the ceiling. Guys, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the longer I've lived this and the more that I've seen this in the Word, the more I've come to the conclusion I have no excuses. I am a child of Almighty God. And I am more than a conqueror. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I have to tell you, the more freedom I live in, the better it feels. Praise God. Okay, everybody, go ahead and stand.